Lord, open our ears and our eyes and our minds to your word. Help us to see and to hear and to think on these things, to gain insight and conviction where it's needed, and encouragement where you desire. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Shane has asked me to come up tonight and, or this afternoon, excuse me, it's only 3 o'clock. He said I've got 50 minutes. So you said 50, right? No, 15, okay, 15. 15 minutes to go through a verse that he picked out that's hopefully going to be related to the message this morning and the worship that we had there. As I was thinking about the passage and looking at the entire worship time and everything, I noticed that we didn't have a whole lot of cheerful stuff. In the movie Pollyanna, some of you may have heard of that movie Pollyanna, the big climax comes when Pollyanna meets with the pastor and he hands him this page with verses on it. And he said, "What's this?" And she said, "Well, these are glad verses. My dad told us that there were 800 glad verses or 800 glad texts in the Bible. And I picked out a couple for you to work on." And then the next day, the pastor shows up and, a whole 16 hours later or so. And he gets up there and he says, "Look, a young girl told me that there were 800 glad texts in the Bible. Well, I checked last night. There are 826. Now, as a math guy, I was really skeptical, But then also, there's a question that comes up right away, and there's a bunch of you out there that are thinking this question. Well, how many texts total are there in the Bible? Well, there's 31,000 or so verses in the Bible. If we say maybe a text is 10 verses or something like that, that's 3,100 texts, and only 800 of them are glad? It doesn't sound all, it sounded so positive. 800, wow, it's like, well, that'd be like if the, if it was Hello Bunny or something like that, a little tiny book. But as I was looking at our text, our texts are not the ones that Pollyanna would have picked out. Okay? Because we like to have good news. We like to have always good news. And we want the good news to be something like, well, you're okay. You're really pretty good. You're a little bit off, but you're really, really pretty good. But the Bible is packed full of really good news that we're not really good, and that there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves good. And that leads us to this incredibly great news that dead in our sins, we have a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for those sins. And so we're going to look at another one of those not glad texts that really is a glad text. And we're going to try to tie that into what was talked about this morning. It's Isaiah 2:11. If you want to turn there, we'll look at that verse and we'll look at its repeat. Isaiah 2:11 says, "The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." And then Isaiah goes on a little bit, he elaborates a little bit, and then he finishes his verse. And this morning in the adult Sunday school, Jim was explaining a little bit about how Isaiah is set up. And these first five chapters are, I like to think of them as sort of setting the stage. Isaiah is saying, here's how things are. And then he starts up with his ministry stuff starting in chapter 6. And I'm not going to rehash everything that Jim talked about this morning. But in this portion right here, he says, "The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Then he continues with a few verses elaborating on that. And then in verse 17, he says, "And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Some of you may have lofty looks. or proud looks in your versions. The words that are used there in the Hebrew, it's a word that I'm not going to try to pronounce, but it talks about heights. It talks about heights of your eyes. The idea being that you're looking up high, sort of, some people say looking down your nose at people. You know that. In fact, this is hard to talk about here, I got to tell you, because I'm up high, looking down at people, and you know, I mean, it's sort of funny, but it's not really, because I mean it is. I can see how easy it would be, how easy it is, to have those haughty looks when you're talking with people. Someone is always going to say something that you know about, and it's really easy to start speaking authoritatively whenever you're dealing with people. And so the Hebrew word talks about that loftiness. Remember that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but it was also translated into Greek. And so at Jesus' time, most of the synagogues there had the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint. And the Greek word used there is upsiloi or upsiloi. And that sort of sounds like up. Again, it's that whole idea of upness, loftiness, looks, looking down upon people, lifting yourself up. That Greek word, I don't know a whole lot about the Hebrew word other than the definition. That Greek word gets used in the New Testament in two different contexts. It gets used in this kind of context, and it also gets used in just the idea of high. So in Matthew 4, when it talks about the devil taking Jesus up to a high mountain, that's that same word. It's that same loftiness, that very, very high place. And so the idea is that you're putting yourself in a high place. And there's a verse that I think is a good verse to help emphasize this, and that's in Romans chapter 12. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It's Romans 12:16. This is Paul. When Paul is writing the book of Romans, he spends only 11 chapters working out the good, solid doctrine of the Christian faith. And then he expounds upon applications for the last five chapters. And so here he is working on his exhortation on how to live out the Christian life. And he says in verse 16, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind." In other words, do not elevate your mind. "But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." And throughout the whole chapter, all of chapter 12, you can see, if you go and read through chapter 12, you will see that Paul is exhorting us to consider ourselves on a level playing field with everyone else. Not to say, okay, here's a good Christian, here's a not-so-good Christian, here's a really not-so-good, there's a one struggling, you know, none of that. We're all on a level playing field. You know, we can't do it, but, you know, if God is here, we're all, you know, down below the ground, 6 feet, dead in our trespasses and sins. And so we're on that level playing field. And that's really what is being talked about in Isaiah with this idea of haughty looks, is that we're trying to put ourselves in a different position than what we really are in. Now, you notice I said that it was repeated. And I just want to mention briefly that R.C. Sproul taught in a sermon series one time, he talked about the importance of repetition in the Bible. And he talked about Jesus, how Jesus would sometimes say, "Truly I say to you," and sometimes he would say, "Truly, truly I say to you." And his idea was that there was really strong emphasis when you repeat things. And so here we have this idea of being repeated. In fact, this phrase is almost word for word identical in the Hebrew with these two verses. He's repeating it for emphasis. Isaiah is trying to say to you, listen, don't have haughty looks. Don't have lofty pride. Exalt the Lord. This repetition goes on all the time. I mean, Peter's going to be talking about teaching in Deuteronomy. That's the second teaching of the law. That's what that is. It's Deutero or something like that. Someone knows some kind of Hebrew or Greek or whatever, that Latin, I guess that's that Latin. That's two. That's the second time. So God repeats things for emphasis. Today, our responsive reading. You know, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. I mean, it's this idea of repeating things to emphasize how important they are. Isaiah is trying to lay the groundwork of the state of Israel, which is the state of us without Christ, and that is that when you try to elevate yourself, you will be brought down low. That the Lord expects us all to be on that same level playing field and to understand that. There is one other spot in Isaiah that is that has a repetition in it, and that is right after these first five chapters. Isaiah preached during the kingdoms of four kings of Judah. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them in just a second. But when he starts off in chapter 6, after he's laid the framework of what things are going on and everything else, in chapter 6, he says that in the day that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah, who was king for 55 years, it says in 2 Chronicles, 55 years with the same king, a king who was good in the sight of the Lord, this magnificent king that had been there for a long, long time, he died. And what does Isaiah say? He says, I saw the Lord on the throne. In other words, we shouldn't be so focused on Uzziah on the throne, and that Uzziah was on the throne for 55 years, because the important thing is that the Lord is on the throne. And so he's laying that framework throughout the book of Isaiah, throughout his prophecy, saying that, yes, the king died, but I saw the Lord, the real king. And during this time, I just want to point out a couple of the kings. The book of 2 Chronicles, most people, when they read it right after they read the book of 1 Chronicles. And I'd encourage you sometime to read the book of 2 Chronicles on its own. It's got 20 kings, one queen, really bad queen, but 20 kings in there. And it's this fast-moving history through the kings, starting with Solomon all the way up to the end of the nation of Judah, the time that they're carried off to captivity. And Isaiah ministers through four of those kings. The first one, as I just mentioned, was Uzziah, 55 years as a king. And I'm going to go ahead and read a couple of verses just to point out how difficult it is to be a king, a godly king, and to remain humble. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, it says this. It says, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God. Uzziah was a good king. I noticed it said in the sight of the Lord. I thought that was sort of neat as I was reading through these things. And we're talking about lofty looks or haughty looks and the idea of us looking in a certain way. If we have the perspective that the Lord God is looking at us, that he's judging us, that should certainly put us down on a level playing field. So Uzziah was right in the eyes of the Lord. But it says in verse 16, it says, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Okay, now, to those of us that aren't Jewish, and most of us aren't, or don't have a Jewish heritage, we don't understand the difficulty in that, but there was only one tribe out of the 12 tribes that was allowed to minister at all in the temple, and only one family from that one tribe, the family of Aaron, Moses' brother Aaron, only his descendants were allowed to actually go into the temple and be priestly in this kind of setting. And Uzziah got himself proud and decided he was going to go in, he was going to offer incense. Of course, that didn't work out well for him. The Lord chastised him, gave him leprosy right there. The sons of Aaron rushed in and rushed him out of there, but he had to spend the rest of his kingdom, this time as king, outside of the city because of the leprosy. He had that haughty look. He decided that he was better than what God had placed him at. God had placed him to be king. Had given him all kinds of success. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. But his pride turned against him. And one other king, Hezekiah, a couple pages over in 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah was the fourth one. And it turned out that Isaiah was on a real good streak right in there. There were those four kings. Three of the four were good kings. And if any of you know about these 20 kings, the vast majority were not good kings. But he was in the midst of good kings. Hezekiah was a very good king. It says in 2 Chronicles 29, it says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He was a good king. But it says in verse 24, It says in verse 24 of chapter 32, thank you, it says, in those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore wrath came on him, and on Judah, and Jerusalem. And then it goes on to say that he humbled himself at that point, and he apologized. But the deed was done. For Uzziah, he got proud. He got leprosy. It affected the rest of his time as king. Hezekiah got proud. 29 years as king. A good king, restoring the temple, doing all kinds of good things. But he got proud, and he was able to remain king, and God kept his kingdom, but then the kingdom declined very rapidly after that. There are consequences to this kind of pride that is so easy to get. So let's think about how this ties into the message this morning. We talked this morning, had two parables, and I just want to focus on that second one where we had the two men. And in many ways, Uzziah was each of those two men. In many ways, Hezekiah was each of those two men. And I'm sure many of you out there could be saying, well, in many ways you are those two men. And I certainly am. I can be the man beating my breast and saying, have mercy on me, the sinner. And I can also be saying, thank you, Lord, that I get to teach on a Sunday afternoon after a wonderful picnic. I must be something special. I'm not. It's sobering because it's so easy to start thinking of yourself, thinking much of yourself. But remember, it's important. God repeats it. God inspires Isaiah to say it over and over again. We've got the Bible here written one time. Oops, in pieces for some of us. It was written one time. He didn't have to repeat anything in here because it's all in here. But he emphasized some things very much so by repeating them several times. And this passage that Shane shared with us, this Isaiah 2:11, and our study this morning in Luke emphasizes that the haughty looks of man are not good. One last word I want to point out about this verse. The haughty looks of man will be brought low. Okay, the lofty pride of man shall be humbled. It says, and then the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And I want to point out that, as far as I can tell, and I don't know Greek and I don't know Hebrew, but as far as I can tell from looking at the interlinear kind of stuff of those texts and everything else, it does not say that the Lord will be exalted in the sense that the Lord is going to be brought up. Okay, so understand, haughty looks brought low, lofty pride humbled. But what it says is, the Lord, who is impregnable, who is so powerful, will be recognized as such. And so the Lord is here always. Which just points out that when we have those haughty looks or that lofty pride, we're trying to get ourselves up to a spot that we can't attain, but the spot where God is always at. It's a blessing for me, and hopefully for you as well. Let's close in prayer.